This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Okay, so to review for those who might have blocked their near-term economic history memories, the near collapse of the American economy 10 years ago began as a housing crisis. Inflated home prices that everybody, almost everybody, I guess, thought could only go up went the other way. Millions of people lost their homes to foreclosure, banks began to fail, and the crisis was on. Our project about what that crisis and the Great Recession did to this economy is called Divided Decade. And one way that we've changed the past 10 years is that home ownership in this economy still isn't back to where it was. But should it be? Marketplace's Amy Scott has been looking into that.
Good morning. Please find your name on the sign-in sheet.
On a Saturday morning, 40-plus people crowd into a conference room near downtown Denver for a first-time homebuyer class offered by a local nonprofit. Many are here because they have to be to qualify for a mortgage or down payment assistance. Others, like 32-year-old Kelsey Milligan and her husband, are testing the waters.
We're kind of looking to plant roots and start a family in the next few years. And so we're trying to tackle, like, is this even feasible for us? What would it take?
Milligan has good reason to be cautious. She graduated from college in 2008 when millions of people lost their homes to foreclosure.
I watched my father lose his job. There was a lot of times where it was really stressful for us.
Since then, home ownership around the country hasn't recovered. Nationally, about 64% of households are owner-occupied, still 5 points lower than before the crisis. You might think that's healthy, that too many people bought homes before the crash. But Susan Wachter, a real estate finance professor at the Wharton School, says too much home ownership didn't cause the meltdown. It was how people paid for their homes.
Reckless mortgage lending is what drove the financial crisis and the resulting Great Recession.
You know, the second mortgages and cash out refinancing and exploding teaser rate loans. Consider what happened to Emily and Alfredo Cervantes. Back in 2002, they bought a townhome in a Denver suburb for less than $200,000. They had wanted a 30-year mortgage with a fixed rate, but their lender pushed an adjustable rate mortgage that started lower.
And us being young and not knowing very much said okay.
And for a while they did okay, living on Alfredo's salary as a mechanic while Emily went back to school. But after 5 years,
our rate jumped. Gosh, it doubled.
By that time, in 2007, the market had turned and home prices were falling. When they tried to refinance at a fixed rate, the bank said no. They owed more than the house was worth.
So we were left with either trying to sell the home or foreclosing and walking away, which is what we had to do.
11 years later, both 37, they're renting a small bungalow near downtown Denver and terrified that their landlord won't be able to resist the rising prices.
There's that uncertainty every year. You know, are they going to extend the lease this year for us, or is he finally going to sell the house?
That instability is one downside of the decline in home ownership, not just for families, but for communities. Lori Goodman is co-director of the Urban Institute's Housing Finance Policy Center. She says home ownership is also the primary way most people build wealth to secure their retirement and pass on to their children.
So we want it to be available to those that are able to sustain it.
Goodman says, well, there's no ideal rate of home ownership. It probably should be higher than it is today. If credit standards were far too loose before the crash.
We are actually way too tight now.
She estimates more than 6 million people could have sustained home ownership over the past few years, but couldn't get mortgages.
Home ownership isn't for everyone, but it's for more people than we're letting through the door right now.
Emily and Alfredo Cervantes hope to get through that door again. Alfredo is a teacher now. Emily just started a full-time job as a health policy analyst. But now they're carrying more than $600,000 in student loans from graduate programs. Between that and a daughter nearing college.
To save up that amount of money that you need to purchase a home comfortably, I can't even think about how many years that's going to take.
So for now, they'll stay part of a new generation of renters who'd rather own. In Denver, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
You can explore the rise of renters where you live with an interactive map that we've got online. It's at marketplace.org.